Amen. It's great to be here. Can I just encourage people to move forward if you are able to? I think there is something about being close together and being warm. Okay, there is something there about science. So if we space out, then we are going to get colder. So Roger, I want to make an announcement about the heating.
Hello. Sorry, apologies. We've been trying to locate a caretaker. There is no heating in the building at all. Obviously, health and safety issues are at stake. So could we sit together and keep a bit warm? But I can assure you, we're not going to pay the full invoice for the month of January because we've been kept so cold. Okay? So sorry, I've been trying to track down the caretaker all morning. I can't find him at all. And so let's sit together and have a good time as our brother preaches the word.
Thank you. Let's go to our God in prayer. Almighty and awesome God, we want to thank you and praise you and honor you and bow down before you because you are the God that made all that our eyes can see. We thank you that you have called us into a relationship with you. And you have given us your spirit to teach us, to train us, to correct us, to rebuke us, to inspire us and to energize us. Thank you that we are in your presence today. I really beg you that you allow today's message to touch every single heart that is in this room. I really pray that you can take away my flesh and fill me with your Holy Spirit. If there are things that you don't want me to say today that are on my notes, I pray that you delete them. And if there are things in there that are not in my notes that you want me to say, I pray that your spirit will prompt me to say them. I pray that every single one of us will leave here today feeling different. We thank you and praise you for this. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There are a couple of people I would like to introduce to you. First of all, our sister Ingrid Boland from the Southeast. If you want to stand up, please. Ingrid is thinking about the idea of perhaps, you know, I won't say it, but I will let you say it someday. You know, we've known Ingrid a very long time, and it's so great to see that, you know, you are persevering and faithful to God. The second person doesn't know I'm going to introduce him, but it's a gentleman that I have known since 1981. So, if you guys want to know a lot about me before I became a Christian, you can speak to this gentleman. Okay, do you mind standing up? He's a friend of mine. January is a cold month. January has a reputation to be a month where people feel depressed. I don't know why. Perhaps after the expense of December, and the bills are coming out, you know, hitting the deck, and you start wondering, where am I going to get money, you know, to pay off all these Christmas presents that I have bought? But you know what? January is actually an exciting time for me personally. Because on the 25th of January, 1986, I got married to Helen. And on the 25th of this month, we'll be celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary. You know, look at that, 25 years. I'll tell you something. When we got married, I never thought it was going to last 2 years. But by God's grace. And I'm telling you, by God's grace, God has really brought us through. And he has taught us a lot. And we are grateful to God. And that's why we will never hold back, you know, to share our lives and the gospel. You know, I was asked to make an announcement that if you don't have a copy of this book, that you need to get one. But guess what? This is the only copy left. They've sold out, which is an exciting thing. Okay? So if you really want a copy today to take away with you, this is the only copy. Okay? And obviously, if you don't have it, you can still put your name down with Robin, and you can order some more, you know, for next week. Okay? I just want to also thank Mark for his lesson on Friday. Yes. You know, as a church, we have decided to focus this month on prayer. And the lesson that Mark shared on Friday so enriched me. A lot of the things I'll be sharing today may cross over, but you know what? It's good to hear each second time around. And I will also say at this point that Friday meetings is actually as important as Sunday meeting. You know, this morning I woke up around about 2 o'clock. I woke up at funny hours, okay? And I was saying, wow, why did I wake up at this funny hour today? And I thought about, you know, how does plant actually get its food? How does it grow? You know, just strange thing to think about. I will need a bit of audience participation today, okay? So I need you to help me, okay? So I will need you to kind of, you know, answer, you know, some of these questions. How does a plant actually grow? What are the ingredients that a plant needs to grow? Sunlight, okay? Water, nutrient from the soil, and carbon dioxide, you know, it needs air. I said, wow, if you take one out of those four ingredients, would the plant grow? You know, something about our life as Christians. I personally believe that God has provided four forums for us to grow as disciples. One, your personal Bible study. How is that going? The second thing, family group meeting. How is that going? The third thing, end with meeting on Friday. And so church on Sunday. I believe those four areas, fundamentally, God has provided for our spiritual growth. So I say to you, brothers and sisters, that those four meetings, or three meetings, plus your Bible study is important. Because if we miss one out, it may be what God wants you to hear that day that will help you. You know, Franklin shared something on Friday. He said he didn't feel like coming because of something that was happening. But he came and he was blessed. And I'm sure if you look in your own personal lives, how many times have you felt like not coming to church and you came anyway? And you left blessed. You know, brothers and sisters, if Acts is going to be fulfilled in our lives in 2011, individually and as a fellowship, I believe we need to take these things to heart seriously. Amen? If you agree with anything that I say, can you please say the amen loud? Amen. Because if not, I will feel like, well, what's happening here, you know? And if you don't agree with anything I say, can you please see me afterwards? I got your number. You know, our God is an amazing God. I was struggling to have a title for this message. I think I'm just going to just call it, you know, prayer. You know, I just call it prayer. You know, God is a master planner. He is the master planner. Everything starts with Him. And everything is done through Him and ends with Him. Therefore, He deserves the glory, honor, and majesty. You know, prayer was a big part of the lives of our brothers and sisters in the first century church. If you can please turn with me to the book of Acts, and Acts chapter 1. I'm here using someone else's Bible. So if you find me that I'm lost, please bear with me. My Bible is so small, I need bigger print Bible, so I'm going to try and get one. In Acts chapter 1, in verse 14. The Bible says, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. What do we see? Jesus had just left his disciples. And what did they think? What did they do? They got together, they got on their knees, and the Bible says they prayed constantly. It wasn't a one-off event. It was a constant feature of their lives. In Acts chapter 1, verse 24, what do we see again? Tells us they did what? They prayed. Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen. This was before they made a decision to choose someone to replace Judas. You know, I read that. I said, wow. Where did they learn that from? Let's flick over very quickly into Luke chapter 6. You see, we need to be imitators of Christ, and we need to be imitators of godly men and women in our fellowship. In Acts chapter 6, in verse 12, the Bible tells us, one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them. You see, the disciples in the book of Acts learned that they needed to pray before they made a choice. And they learned that from Jesus. I said, wow, isn't that amazing? Isn't that interesting? That they were putting into practice what they learned from the Master. You know, for us today, are we putting into practice what we are learning from the Word of God? Are we putting into practice what we are learning from each other? You know, you open your eyes, God provides opportunities for us to learn in different ways. You know, your discipler, your disciple, the person you have relationship with, are you learning from each other? You see, to me personally, it's not how much we know, it's how much we do. You know, one of the scriptures that Mark shared was in Matthew chapter 7. You know, he says, why do you call me Lord, Lord? And you do not do what I say. If you say we are disciples of Christ, on the day Jesus will say, we pray, he doesn't say, away from me, you evildoers, because you haven't done what I said you should do. We pray that Jesus will count us worthy as doers of his word and not just hearers or listeners. And we know from the book of Old Testament that to obey is better than sacrifice. You know, guys, I truly want to encourage every single one of us as we begin this year. I believe it's going to be an amazing year. I believe it's going to be an incredible year. I believe God will do incredible things. You know, Helen and I were praying this morning. I said, you know what? What is it that we actually need to pray about? We want to pray for the kind of miracles that happen in the book of Acts. Just imagine the story of Saul when he was there, sitting at the feet of, when Stephen was being stoned. If the writer of the book of Acts have just ended that, the record of his life there, we wouldn't have known that he later repented and turned to Saul, one of the greatest apostles. That's just at that point I said, wow, we know hearts that we perhaps in our own human, you know, minds feel that this heart cannot turn to God. We started praying for every single person that we think are in that category. Because it's not going to be about us. It is about God's Spirit actually doing incredible things. If you just read through the book of Acts yourself, and just say, how did this person got converted? If it's not by the Holy Spirit. You know, don't let limit the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us allow it to do its work. Let us move away from our humanistic way of thinking, our own way of planning things, because it's God that will make it happen. Do you believe that for your own self, for your family members, for your work colleagues, for your neighbors? Do you believe that God will do amazing things in your life this year? I'm not hearing the amen, guys. I did say at the beginning that I need you to help me. And if you agree, I need to hear it loud and clear. You know, in Acts 2:42, the Bible tells us that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, to prayer and to fellowship. Again, devoted to prayer. In Acts 4, again, devoted to prayer. You know, three things I believe we need to bear in mind when we pray. The first one, for God's will to be done. The second one, I believe we need to pray in the name of Jesus. Because the Bible tells us, even Jesus himself said so, in the book of John 14. He said, anything you ask for, in my name, I will do it. In my name. Just imagine, you go to a church, And because we do attend weddings in other churches from time to time. And the vicar or whoever is conducting the event, finish praying. Let us say his name is Peter. I hope nobody is Peter in this room. If you are, amen. And he said, in Peter's name, after he's finished praying, I'm sure you want to have a word with him afterwards. Oh, he says, in Rani's name, or in Mark's name, or in Doug's name, after I finish praying. It doesn't sound right, does it? I mean, this guy that wrote this book, you know, was gave an illustration, which I think is an excellent one. They went to the theme park, you know, and they got tickets, you know, and he wanted to be, you know, the guy that gives out the ticket. He was kind of having fun with his family, and I think he had a family of about six. And he got, you know, a lot of tickets. And then he stood there and was handing it to every member of his family as they came along. And they all went in into the theme park. And the last person that came was a scruffy little guy that he's never seen before. He's never met him before. And the guy, you know, just held his hand out. And the guy said, I don't know you. And then everybody, the queue obviously stopped. And people that were behind the guy was looking. Come on! And this obviously, perhaps the event was a popular one that they want to quickly get in and get the best seat. They said, what's happening, man? Why is this guy holding the queue? The guy wouldn't give him any ticket. And then his son looked back. He said, yeah, that's my friend. I just met him at the door when we were coming in. He was begging. And I told him my father was handing out tickets that he can't come in. And the guy said, I'll give him a ticket. He got into the theme park because of his son. You know, we get to see God because of Jesus Christ. Guys, let's take this thing seriously. So when we pray, we need to really pray. Amen. Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, you see, I believe also that our effectiveness is a result of our obedience to the scriptures. You just look through the book of Acts. They obeyed. They did everything that Jesus had taught them. No wonder they had so much impact. And I wrote this down, and I want you to actually recite this after me. Okay? Because I believe it's key. You cannot come here and hear and then don't do. So I need you to actually take this to heart. I will read it first, and I will get you to recite it after me. My effectiveness as a Christian will depend on how obedient I am to the scriptures. Because I personally believe that if we are going to be effective this year, we need to be obedient to the scriptures. So I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to break it down, and I'm going to get you to repeat after me. Okay. My effectiveness as a Christian will depend on how obedient I am to the scriptures. Do you agree with me on that? I really believe if we individually take that to heart, and we as a fellowship take that to heart, we will see Acts unveil in our time. You know, in the life of a Christian, God should both get the credit and the glory. Isn't this amazing sometimes? You know, we accomplish something and we spend time, a chunk of time, actually describing to our friends or our colleagues or relatives of how we got there. And we spend maybe 30 seconds and say, to God be the glory. Isn't this amazing? I look back in my life, I see things that I have done, things that I have achieved, and I spend a lot of time actually telling people about those things. Right, I'm saying up front that it's actually by the glory and the will of God that this happened. You know, we need to begin to change our mindset. It's a new year. I'm personally finding out that the faith of last year will not sustain me this year. Because what I'm going to go through this year will be different from what I went through last year. So I've got to start beginning to think differently, pray differently, be in a different atmosphere, so that God can do what He wants to do with my life. And I hope and pray that you are doing the same. Amen? Amen? You know, God's work done God's way will never lack God's supply. Just think about that for a moment. God's work done God's way will never lack God's supply. Ponder about that. Just ponder on that one for a moment. Everything we do, everything about us, isn't it about Christ? Isn't it so that Christ can be glorified in our lives? We are His ambassadors. And if you know the role of an ambassador, you know they actually don't represent themselves. They represent the nation that has sent them. They are the representative of the head of state of that nation to another nation, if you know what I mean. We are ambassadors for Christ. We need to do things Christ's way, not our own way. My way is no way. Christ's way is the only way. So, brothers and sisters, God's work done God's way will never lack God's supply. Prayer is always relevant. Whatever is a concern in your heart should be a concern in God's heart. Whatever is a worry in your heart is a worry in God's heart. The Bible tells us in First Corinthians about the body and many parts. You see, the way we feel sometimes, if in a group like this, if someone is feeling isolated, it is wrong. It is wrong. And if you feel on your own, then it's wrong. I call it pride, actually. I don't want anybody to know what's going on in my life. So you are going to struggle and suffer on your own. That's wrong. There has to be people in your life. And the amazing thing about getting people in your life, it's that you actually learn from them, and they learn from you. You know, it's amazing how God works. I was talking to a brother, you know, that we kind of have a relationship with, in terms of, you know, helping each other. It's not in this sector. I mean, we were just talking, and I was sharing an incident that happened between him and I, and how we overcame it, which I will share with you later on. And then at the end of the conversation, he said, "Wow, I appreciate you actually sharing this with me." Blah, 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 blah. He just rattled what was going on in his life as well. And at the end of the conversation, we mutually encouraged one another. And he said something. He said, "You know what? People that I reach out to now, I actually pray that God will help me to meet their needs, rather than praying that they become disciples." I said, "That's interesting. I've never thought about that one." He said, "Jesus met people's needs." If I had not started the conversation by sharing what was going on in my life, I would have missed out on that. Guaranteed. And I was also sharing with a brother, you know, same incident in this sector. And at the end of the conversation, we came to the conclusion that obedience to the word of God is actually the key to everything. So, brothers and sisters, please, open yourself up. In the life of a disciple of Jesus Christ, there's no go area. These are kind of things that I want us to really ponder on. You know, sometimes we are fearful, even after we have prayed. Very fearful, not knowing what was going to happen. I had an incident on Tuesday. I had to do a presentation at work. I don't know about you. Even standing here, I don't feel as if I'm qualified to stand here. When it comes to standing in front of people, I get scared. I'm saying, "Wow, choose somebody else. Work, please. Even if," I said, "please." I'm not one of those that actually cherish being up here talking to people. Because when it comes to that, it's only by the grace of God. Anyway, I thought, what am I going to do with this presentation? I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. Then I thought God gave me the insight to actually kind of produce an aid memoir for what I was going to be doing. And I walked into, you know, the auditorium for about 10 minutes. And I did what I had to do myself, just being myself, gave them the handouts. And I walked out. I said, "I have blown it, man. I haven't done a good job." But I said, "But I have prayed." I said, "What a good job oh no, good job. Because I have prayed, God will work on their heart and they will get the message. I just got fired up straight away, rather than being droopy. In the past, it would have taken me 3 days to recover from that. I said, no, I've prayed, I've handed it to God, so that's it. And I was walking today on, you know, the high street, and this guy was shaking a bucket, you know, collecting money for charity called Concern. And he stopped me. He said, I want you to kind of, you know, give your name, address, and contribution, you know, to this charity. I said, okay, so what does this charity do? And what do you benefit from doing this? He started telling me. I said, well, you know what? I need to tell you about Jesus Christ. He changes lives. And we kind of started talking. So, yeah, I'm a missionary. He's from Ghana. I have Ghanaians here. Amen. His name is Michael Kwashi. Anyway, we started talking, and I got his number, and we are going to be meeting this coming Wednesday, lunchtime, to study the Bible. Because I told him, I said, are you free? Let's meet and study the Bible. He said, yes. And I walked away from him. I said, if I had remained droopy, and I have not believed in the prayer that I prayed even before the presentation, opportunity lost. How many of us are missing out on such opportunities? By looking back and saying, oh, maybe I didn't do a good job. After you have prayed and you have committed every aspect of what you are going to do to God, even if it's an interview. If you don't get a job, that means God doesn't want you to have that job. So why should you remain droopy? You know what? Amen. Thank you. What that tells me is we truly need to believe in who we are. Because when we believe in who we are, definitely confidence will come. Because we are children of God. And I thought at the beginning of this year, I needed to pray for God to reveal things that He has never revealed before in my life. Scary prayer. I look at the sin list. I say, yes, they were in my life in the past. Obviously, apart from pride. Obviously, and I need to remain humble and pray for humility every day. I said, but there is something that is stopping my effectiveness. I said, God, I want you to show yourself to me this year. I don't want to go into next year feeling as if I have not overcome things that are holding me back. I remember praying vividly. And last week, God just showed me something that I never thought was significant, but very important. And what was that? You know, we had a conference last week, and people came from out of town, and a couple from Manchester stayed with us. And we were sitting down, breakfast time, just talking, and they said, oh, how are things in the South? Great, fantastic, awesome, brothers and sisters. So I have you guys feel second. Fantastic, great. You know, we've never been loved like this before for a very long time. We are among friends. Fantastic sector. How many marriages do you have in your group? I said, about 36 to 38. You know? And he said, you sure? Is that many? I said, yeah, about 36 to 38. I'm sure. Probably, yeah, about 38. Then he said, are you sure? At that point, if I was not a disciple of Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, it would have been funny. It wouldn't have been funny. It would have been something perhaps that I would say that may not be right. But anyway, it's okay. How many people were at the last marriage retreat? Oh, she said, about 100. I said, okay, about 100? Okay. And she said, oh, but some people came from the South. And then we had a non-Christian couple and then the visiting speaker. I said, okay, how many in total, you know, came from outside of the South? She said, maybe about 5-6 couples. I said, okay. I felt like getting the calculator out, you know. Anyway, and the couple said, yeah, you probably have about 38 couples then. I said, okay, yeah. And then if you notice last Sunday, it seems as if there was kind of droplets of ice on your windscreen. Depending on where you live, obviously. So when we got to the car, I noticed that it was a bit frosty, and I needed to defrost it. So I just got water that was staying in the car overnight, that was staying in there overnight, opened it and just put it on this windshield to soften the ice. And I went to the boot, opened it to put the empty bottle back in there, and Helen said, cold water on ice's windscreen? Yeah, you'll be fine, you'll be fine. At that point, I'm saying, come. Anyway, I went back in the car, started the engine, the ice melted, we drove off, and I prayed in my heart before I went into church. I said, okay, I need to talk about this when we get home. And obviously, you have to pray for an opportune time. So we got back home, you know, around about 8 p.m., I thought, okay, maybe this is the time. I said, you know, the comment you made this morning actually made me feel somehow. It made me doubt myself. You know, as a kid, I was actually, you know, shut down a lot of times. And when I tried to say things that are correct, people just shut me down. And the way you reacted at the breakfast table this morning made me go back into my childhood. And it made me feel very little, as if I didn't know what I was saying. And then Helen said, I was only joking. It was only just, you know, I didn't know you took it that seriously. I'm sorry. I apologize, you know. And then I said, isn't this funny? I prayed that God will reveal certain things in my character. And he did. And I realized that things that are maybe insignificant actually could be what could get my back up. And I said, God, thank you for actually revealing this, because it's now helped me to actually see how I can relate, you know. And she knows, you know, a bit about my background now, maybe to help me to overcome them. And I said, how many of our married couples will have that kind of situation? Because they don't have the maturity or the know-how to bring it up. It will cause World War III in their homes. And for weeks, they will not even talk to each other. Innocent comment can become something humongous, something big. I said, okay, God, help us to really understand this. And I appreciate you revealing it in my life to help me to know that little things can get my back up. What gets your back up? Have you prayed to God to help you? You see, if Acts is going to be revealed in our time, we have to begin to pray prayers that we've never prayed before. What are the kind of things that actually stops our prayers being answered? I believe, as the Bible says in 1 Peter, I don't know whether it's going to be a long sermon today or a short sermon, but please bear with me. In 1 Peter chapter 3, I want to just read a passage of scripture here. In 1 Peter 3 in verse 7, I take it from verse 7. It says, husbands, now the wives are fired up and happy. Because I'm addressing the husbands now. It says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. There are certain things that can hinder our prayers. In Hebrews chapter 12, the Bible reads, it says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sins that so easily entangles, so that we can run with perseverance this race that's marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endures the cross. Guys, we need to throw off anything that hinders. Are you holding on to things that hinders you, or are you throwing them off? If Acts is going to be revealed in our time, guys, we need to throw off everything that hinders, Sometimes we don't even know what those things are. And that's why we need to pray and ask God to reveal them to us so that we can throw them off and run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us. Second thing I want to quickly talk about is when we pray, we need to pray with honesty and sincerity. I don't know about you. Sometimes I go around all the houses before I actually say what I want to say to God, as if He has the whole time to listen to me. If you are in a conversation with a friend and you notice that they are going round and round and round before they get to the point, what are you going to say to them? Get to the point. When we pray to God, we need to be honest and we need to be sincere. You can just write this down for reference. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, and please make sure you read it in verse 9 to 20. It is about, you know, Hannah. When she was in the temple, she was praying and was specific because she knew she had a need. And she did not hold back on expressing what that need was to God. And he made a promise that, God, if you answer my prayer, this is what I will do. She was direct. She was sincere. Even people around her, including the priest, thought maybe this woman was out of her mind. You know, that's the amazing thing. Sometimes when we are direct with God and sincere, people who don't have that spiritual understanding may think that we are out of our mind. Just imagine the way you do things at work as a disciple of Christ. You are late and you apologize. And your co-worker colleagues come in, they just walk in. Oh, hello, everybody. Or you use the office telephone and you haven't taken permission. And you realize that and you have a discussion with your boss. And say, am I actually allowed to use this phone? Probably say, everybody does it, so why are you asking? Oh, well, I'm a disciple, I need to ask. Are you with me?
Yes.
I remember, it was about 15 years ago. I was in Wandsworth Town. If you ever travel, you know, up to Wandsworth Town or go through Wandsworth Town, deserted most of the time. And I remember this Sunday morning, I was going to work. There was nobody at the train station. I didn't pick up a ticket, you know, from Balham Station to Wandsworth Town. And I appeared as if I traveled free. So on my way back, the guy was at the ticket office. I went to him, I said, you know, I need to pay, you know, return fare. He said, what do you mean? He said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to Balham. I said, yeah, this morning, there was no one at Balham Station, and there was no one here, and I traveled free. I said, I want to pay for that journey, and I want to pay for this one. He looked at me. Somebody, even thinking about it. You see, many people are thinking and not paying. See, are you mad or something? I say, no, it's because of who I am. I don't need to travel free, I need to pay. Anyway, we need to be honest and be above reproach. I think this one is worth reading. Genesis chapter 24. You know, this guy had a mission. And his mission was to go and look for a wife for his master's son. Genesis 24. If you are familiar with this story, Abraham asked his servant to go and get a wife for his son Isaac. He gave him, you know, the place to go, and the guy said, okay, I'm going to go. And the guy was praying. I'm going to take it from verse 10. I mean, you can read the rest of the story yourselves. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camel and left, taking with him all kinds of good things from his master. He set out for Aram and made his way to the town of Nahor. He had the camels nailed down. He had the camels nailed down near the well outside the town. It was towards evening, the time the women go out to draw water. Then he prayed, "O Lord, God of my master Abraham, give me success today and show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I stand beside this spring, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a girl, 'Please let down your jar that I may have a drink,' and she says, 'Drink and I will water your camels too,' let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master." I love this next bit. Before he had finished praying, Rebecca came out with her jar on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, who was the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor. The girl was very beautiful, a virgin no man had ever laid with her. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up again. The servant hurried to meet her and said, "Please, give me a little water for my jar, from your jar." "Drink, my lord," she said, and quickly lowered the jar to her hands and gave him a drink. After she had given him the drink, she said, "I will draw water for your camels too," just as he prayed. And God delivered. If we are going to be focusing on the book of Acts, and Acts needs to be fulfilled in our time in 2011, I think we need to be specific when we pray. The last point, very briefly, we need to approach God with confidence. You know this story, and if you don't know, I will encourage you to read it. 1 Kings chapter 18, from verse 16 to 39. Elijah on Mount Carmel. You know, he asked all the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Asherah to gather together that our God will do something that has never been done before. All the 450 prophets of Baal were there, and he was telling them, "You call on your God. See what your God will do. And I will call on my God." For hours and hours and hours, they called on their God and nothing happened. And he knelt down and he gathered 12 stones and he put the stones around. And he called on the name of God. He said, "God, if you are God, answer me." The fire came and consumed everything. He approached the throne of God with confidence, because he knew that his God would do it. There was no doubt in his mind. When we pray, do we doubt? Brothers and sisters, I believe God is going to do an incredible and amazing things in our lives as individuals and collectively as a church in 2011. Let us go out there and trust our God and pray to him like we have never prayed before. Please throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Please approach the throne of grace with confidence in the Lord. And remember, our effectiveness will be as good as when we obey the scriptures. If we don't obey the scriptures, let me read the correct thing. My effectiveness as a Christian will depend on how obedient I am to God, and to God be the glory. Thank you.